All right, welcome into the Modern Christian Dudes podcast. My name's Jeremiah Johnson. What do you know? It is 2023. Big Ben, aka King Ranch, ask you.
Can't believe it.
And Greg Walden died. Just kidding, he's not here.
Sad face.
Funko Pro Greg Walden is somewhere in the universe right now with his wife.
Probably buying Funko Pops.
Yeah, you talked to him. Was he doing anything?
Sounded like he was in his truck. So my guess is they're on their way to vintage stock right now to look at Funko Pops.
Yep. We should call him. We can get him. We got the gear to call him up and get him on the phone there if we need to. We should
call him.
All right. So with that in mind, we just got done with Christmas, a brand new year. Do you have any exciting hot takes or reports coming out of the Christmas break for you, Funko Pro Greg? I mean, Big Ben, a.k.a. King Ranch. Ask you, sit next to me.
No, I'm sorry. You call me Funko Pro. Anyway, love you, Greg Walden. We miss you. Wish you were here. But no, I don't.
I watch lots of movies, lots and lots of movies and lots of TV, a lot more than I normally watch.
Yeah.
And I did sleep a good amount too, which was nice.
I tried to get in as many Christmas movies as possible and also as many Christmas cookies as possible. And now I think it's time to start watching what I eat.
I don't feel I did too bad in the eating department overall. I mean, I ate a lot, but not as much as I thought necessarily.
I did terrible. I did really bad.
Interesting. So we hope you had a great Christmas. Happy New Year. I did go to Branson Bass Pro Shop, all things Southern Missouri. I kind of got in there. So there you go. It was great. We hope you enjoyed the last edition of the MCD podcast. Go back and listen to it. We had college girls on there.
Yep.
And a former college boy, my daughter's boyfriend. Yeah. So that was interesting. Go check out that last episode.
I thought that was your friend.
Yeah, my friend. Oh, I don't know what to call him right now. So anyway, but like I said, you know, let's get this over with and you can pay the bills for Gabrielle and
there you go.
Deal with her emotions, things like that or whatever it is. Okay. So here we go, guys. It's a brand new year. Lots of stuff happening. I figured I wouldn't go full deep, but I did go see Avatar 2. Did you go see Avatar 2 yet?
Nope.
Okay, you say you're a big fan of these things, but you don't
as previously stated.
Are you such a big Avatar fan? And I've already seen it.
That's a 3-hour movie. I can't see it without my wife. She won't let me. And so that's a 3-hour movie. That means I'm going to have to dedicate at least 5 hours to this thing, which means that my children have to go to somebody for 5 hours. And I just haven't made that commitment yet.
Okay, partial review. So I did pull this up. The plot says more than, this is from Wikipedia, but more than a decade after the Na'vi rebelled the human invasion of Pandora by the Resources Development Administration, aka the RDA, Jake Sully lives as chief of the Amataka Takaya clan. Mm-hmm. How do you pronounce that? And then raises a family with Nytira. So now he is fully...
Nytiri.
Nytiri, okay. So now he is fully Avatar... and I forgot that because I was like, wait, what happened to his human body? Like, where did he go? And I'm like, oh, he's fully.
You're not even a fan.
Yeah, he's fully, fully Avatar now. And then he has, gets married, I guess. And he's the leader of the clan. And they have kids. So sons, I'm not even going to, two sons, two daughters. Not just one adopted. The one's adopted because the female scientist, her avatar miraculously has a child. She gets pregnant in the tube thing and has a child, and that's the adopted daughter. So that's the big spin there, which I think will affect the forthcoming movies. There we go. And then, the human boy. So I thought in the previews, the human boy was like their offspring, but that is not true. So let's see. A human boy named Spider, the son of Colonel Miles. Give me these names. Jeez,
The Colonel's son.
Yeah, the Colonel's son. That's who it is, who was born on Pandora.
That's a huge plot twist.
Yeah, and was unable to be transported to Earth in cryostasis due to his infancy. So because babies can't go into cryo, he had to stay there. And so that's why he's now full on with Avatar and knows their ways. And he basically is a human. So that's where that big twist came in there. Yeah, so that was interesting. And, you know, later we find out in the movie that that's the Colonel's son. Okay, so Jake stages.
Did you just do a major spoiler?
I don't know if it's a spoiler. In one sense, I guess it is. Not going to spoil the end of the movie. So with that in mind, now The colonel is dead, right? But now he comes back because he's an avatar. So so basically they took all of his memories and all of him and put it in a tube, and then they inserted that into avatars. So now he comes back as an avatar.
Oh my gosh.
Again, to battle. And again, the humans, you know, us humans, we're always destroying and taking over and doing bad things.
Yeah.
AKA the sinful nature. So then the humans are back to Pandora. They're like building a city, taking over. I mean, Earth is, you know, running out of resources. So Pandora is the next step, AKA Mars, except a way better Mars.
I see.
So interesting. Yeah. So they're back. So they try to stop, the humans, but then what happens? One of his sons gets hurt, almost dies, and he's like, I can't do this anymore. I have to protect my family. The goal of a father is to protect his family. So that's when, you know, he goes out in the water. They go out there. There's various tribes. Yep. So then he goes out and connects with his tribe, like, can I live with you and be a part of you? But then he has to learn to be a part of that tribe because they have, have different tails, arms. They're built for water,
right?
And they're built for the forest. So then anyway, they go into that, and then they have another battle. So the colonel is just hell bent on tracking Sully down and killing him. And so anyway, basically when you're going to Avatar, in my opinion, as not a hardcore Avatar fan, is that you are going for the cinematic visual experience primarily. So and you're going to get that.
It only took 10 years.
Yeah. But you can see, so I watched just a few quick YouTube videos and basically showing how they, I don't even know that they had any sets. I mean, they had sets.
Yeah.
But it was all
green screen.
Green screen.
Yeah.
Like just some gray boxes. And like, it was like, what? So I think the money spent probably came in the time and the technology. Yeah,
CGI.
And all the CGI that had to be formed. I was pretty surprised.
That director's set up to do 7 of those movies. Like Disney has ordered 7 of those movies from him. And I mean, it's already, he doesn't have enough life left.
It did do well. I just, like, the storyline was very basic. So I think a lot of people are going to grill the movie in that regards, the storyline. And then not a lot of excitement going forward. So that's where I'll stay away from the ending or the spoiler of the movie. Because at the end of the movie, you're like, okay, so it's just like, we did this the first movie, we did the second movie, and we're just going to do this again in the third movie?
Yeah.
The same kind of thing. So that's what I kind of walked away with. Although I was surprised in the length of the movie did not feel that long. So I was there by myself.
So it was entertaining for 3 hours.
Yeah, I didn't. So basically I'd put like this, I wouldn't call us filmmakers, although we try to make videos and things like that. So I know we just got done doing a 30-minute video Christmas special kind of thing. And you're like, okay, how long is this going to take? How long is this going to take? And obviously these are way bigger experts and pros than we are. But my opinion is they kind of let everything linger. So instead of like that movie could have easily been 90 minutes,
right?
2 hours easily.
Right.
But I think like they could have cut every single scene off by a minute or two. And you know, if you do that for 20, 30 scenes, you're down to, you know, 2 hours easily. So that was my opinion.
There was a movie I watched recently. It was Kingdom of Heaven. Have you ever seen that movie?
I have not seen that movie.
It's got Orlando Bloom is the main character, and he basically goes to this. It's set in the Crusade times, and he goes to Jerusalem and like takes over his father's deal. It's actually a really good movie. It's interesting, and like you meet the king of Israel and everything. You should watch this movie, but I'd always only watch the movie that had come out. Well, there's a special director's cut that I had never seen before. And it has a bunch of extended scenes and stuff. And it made so much more sense. And it was such a better movie. It was a good movie. Kingdom of Heaven. You should watch that movie. It's good.
All right. Avatar 2, I say it's good, bordering on really good. I'd give it like a 7.5, super critical, maybe an 8 overall. I mean, 1 through 10.
It's looking at like it's going to break. What is it?
Yeah, the money's there.
$1.38 billion it's made.
It's definitely not, in my opinion, not the greatest movie of all time by any means. But it's going to make the money. They'll keep pumping them out. And I was thinking about it, I was like, it just doesn't have a Star Wars type thing that's like enduring.
Yeah.
Like, although there's Avatar 1, you know, we look with Star Wars like, fondness and
right.
You know, it's this whole culture and.
But hey, you know what? Both movies have been a huge success. So maybe yeah. maybe we have gotten into the mentality of we have to have more content constantly, like Star Wars has been doing.
Yep.
Like, and it's been really poor quality, or even Avengers or the Marvel's cinematic universe. Like, we keep wanting more and they keep cranking it out, but maybe it needs more thought. Maybe you need 10 years between movies.
Yeah, true. There you go. So the woke culture stuff seemed to be absent for the most part from the movie, which That's was good. Nice. Again, the about family, all about family. Uh-huh. You know, it was a father and a mother right. and kids. Or a male and a female,
yeah.
married with kids. And it was about being a good father, and a father takes care of his family. And then in the end, instead of like, hey, you can't run, you have to fight for your family.
Yeah.
And I'm going to choose to fight for my family. And I thought I thought it was a good family movie. I wouldn't take my boys to it yet. I know Pastor Rachel right. wouldn't let me either, but, I think you could take your family to it, you know, and yeah. be like, oh, this is a good movie. There you go. The other one I was going to say, because you have 30 minutes of previews, the Creed 3, that is, I think, going to be my favorite movie of next year.
You think so?
Creed 3.
I haven't seen the first one or the second one.
Here's what I will say. Here's a hot take. 2023 is going to be the year of Jonathan Majors.
Okay.
In Hollywood. Easily. He's going to be the main character of Creed 3. He's going to be the main character of Ant-Man.
Okay.
He's going to be in, I'm sure, Loki
right.
in
right.
Disney episodic film. I don't know what other films he has, but he's already going to, you know, and he's going to be, I'm sure, tied into whatever Marvel does henceforth
right.
in some capacity or way. Yeah. So Jonathan Majors is going to be the actor of 2023.
Good for him.
Easily.
But just easily. Don't go Dwayne Johnson on yeah. us and do everything.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and it'll be nice balance, because he's not going to be, you know, he's going to be the bad in Creed. Well, actually, in Creed, he's the bad guy. He's going to be the bad guy. No, so in Creed, he's going to be the bad guy. In Marvel, he's right. Kang, he's going to be the bad right. guy. So anyway, it's going to be actor, Jonathan though. Majors.
He's a good actor. And Loki, that was he did a really good job.
Yep. And then Indiana Jones. Just let it go. Definitely let it
yeah,
go.
Yeah, that's... Well, after the last one that they did, the Crystal Skull or whatever, with... You know, I'm a huge... oh, man, I just forgot his name. He hasn't been in anything for forever.
Harrison Ford?
Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, okay.
Shia LaBeouf. I'm a big Shia LaBeouf fan. I think he's a great actor. But when they pulled him in, it seemed like he was going to be the new Indiana Jones, and it's not the case.
Yep.
It's not the case. And so, I don't know. That was a very strange movie.
It's just
movie.
Like, I don't know. It's especially too, I hate the action movies where like you're 75 years old or yeah. whatever now. It's not believable.
I'm surprised they got him to do it, because he didn't want to do the Star Wars thing. But I'm surprised he actually did it.
Yeah.
One thing I did watch recently is the National Treasure series. That's on Disney.
Oh, I saw that. I did not watch it, but I saw it and was like, that's interesting.
It's good. I think it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. There were some woke references, but it was extremely passive. It wasn't like they were taking it seriously, but the point was made, kind mm-hmm. of. But yeah, no, I kind of enjoyed the series. I thought there was, because now it's a female lead, you know, obviously you got Nicolas Cage. Now okay. they've switched to a female lead in the show. And I mean, she's essentially Nicolas Cage, you know, just really smart on all the history stuff and blah, 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 blah. But yeah, no, I enjoyed it. It's something to watch. But
nice. And then the new Ant-Man does actually, the previews look really good. So that'd be an interesting one.
Yep.
When that gets
come out in February.
That comes February. Out in February. Yeah. yeah. So they're earlier in the year, which is going to be kind of nice. So,
yep.
Okay, bouncing over to you there.
Yeah.
Big Ben.
Okay, with the new year, my plan is to read more. Not necessarily just my Bible, but reading more books, taking a step away from some social media. I've been making it a point over the last, you know, couple months to read, and I've been reading a lot of biographies and stuff like that. And I've been reading, you know, some fantasy books like Ender's Game, some of the classics. But I started reading a new series by Bill O'Reilly, And it's the first one is called Killing Lincoln. And then there's a, you know, there's a whole series of them. There's like Killing the SS, Killing Patton, Killing Kennedy. He actually wrote one, Killing Jesus. I haven't read it, but I hear it's pretty good. But it's all historical fact, and it's written as a thriller. So it takes, so the one I'm reading right now is called Killing Lincoln, and it takes all the facts of Lincoln and all the research, and it lays it out in a kind of a thriller-esque style. So it's like at the end of the chapter, it's like the
man trying to make it not boring.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's like, it'll end the chapter with like the man that has 12 days to live. And so it's got a countdown, and it goes into John Wilkes Booth's past and kind of who he was and how he sympathized with the Confederacy and different stuff like that. And then even Lincoln, it was interesting that, Lincoln really took some unnecessary risks. Like he would go around without any protection or into dangerous situations. Like they were going down the river and there was bombs all through the river. And he was just taking risks that were not necessary for him to take. Mm. Or he was like rode a horse into this city in Richmond without any protection whatsoever. Anybody could have just shot him, you know. But I got into the point of the book where it's talking about Richmond. And this is kind of funny. So towards the end of the war, Ulysses S. Grant, who became president, obviously, he has Robert E. Lee on the run. And when he does that, they basically evacuate Richmond. So the Confederacy president, Jefferson Davis, he's on the run, and then the military from Richmond's on the run. So they just leave Richmond unprotected, and just the Union Army can just run into it. Well, so this is where it gets funny and interesting. So Richmond, the people of Richmond didn't want the Union to get a hold of their fine liquor and their whiskey. So they decided they'd take all the barrels and dump them in the gutters. So they dumped all this alcohol in the gutters. And then the people of Richmond heard that they were dumping all this whiskey and stuff in the gutters. And so they started drinking it out of the gutters. So they were like nice. Grabbing hats and whatever they could do to fill it and pulling it out of the gutters to drink. So all of Richmond is essentially drunk. All right. And then they didn't want Lincoln and the Union to get a hold of their tobacco because they would sell it to Europe and then make money for the Union. So they decided they were just going to burn it. So they lit their tobacco on fire. And it was stored in wooden warehouses, and the wooden warehouses caught on fire.
Sure.
Right. And this massive inferno. Well, because there was alcohol in the gutters
started on fire,
ignited on fire. And the entire city of Richmond basically was engulfed in flames.
Wow.
And so then they had the Navy that they had like 100 ships in the river just stationed there. And the Navy saw the inferno going on, and they thought it was a Union bombardment and that the Union was attacking mm-hmm. Richmond. So they panicked. They're like, well, we don't want the Union to get a hold of our ships. So they torched their ships. Well, they had 100,000 rounds of artillery on these ships that caught on fire and basically blew up Richmond. So you've got the fire going through Richmond, all of Richmond's on fire, and then you have the 100,000 artillery rounds going off and blowing things up in Richmond.
So they just destroyed themselves, essentially?
They basically just destroyed themselves because wow. they thought that, you know, the Union was coming through. But
and that is that true?
That's it not is true.
Fictional?
Wow. It's not fiction. No,
oh, man.
That's the cool thing about this series is it's all based on fact and historical fact. They just lay it out in a thrilling way.
I was looking this up and I heard this on a podcast I was listening to the other day. Some 15,000 books have been written about Lincoln. More books, says Tetrault, than have been written about any other person in world history, with the exception of Jesus. So wow. with the exception of Jesus, the most talked about person in all of human history is Abraham Lincoln.
No, it's a good, it's a really good book. Another interesting fact is, so John Wilkes Booth, had a fiance, And his fiance was the daughter of a prominent senator in the North. I forget which state, but her father did not approve of Booth because he was an actor and didn't, you know, have any prospects. Well, Abraham Lincoln's son was actually courting John Wilkes Booth's fiance. Okay. So there's a strange connection there too. And so John Wilkes Booth was also at Lincoln's second inauguration and the speech that he gave. And so it's very interesting how it's all interconnected. You're like, oh wow, he was there the whole time.
Right.
But yeah.
Wow. All right. Bouncing over, we have, you know, we're now having to readjust and, you know, make our attempts to get the ladies back on board the Modern Christian Dudes podcast because they all fled for some reason. They're all there. They all fled.
It's probably because we knew. We started talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, we know you're listening. They're like, oh, wait, we need to stop.
So let's talk fashion trends 2023 for both male and female, hitting both upsides. I found this on 2023 Men's Fashion Trends from GQ Magazine. Here's some of the top items that will be the fashion trends for males specifically. And we do believe in the difference between male and female. Number one, sleeker trenches. So trench coats or longer, like trench type coat looking.
So matrix
apparel, matrixy type looks, if you will. Secondly, zip up hoodies are still going to be popular. They've been around, nothing new there, if you will, but zip up hoodies, fleece hats or fleece type beanie looking hats are going to be cool as well.
Okay.
I'm not a big beanie type person. I guess I've moved past that age wise. So
yeah.
Anyway, you got to balance your age and your apparel, in my opinion.
It'll be interesting what fashion does this year. Now that Kanye West, the artist formerly known as Kanye West, now known as Ye, is kind of being canceled.
Right.
He was a huge influencer in the fashion. And the zip up hoodie, like, Kanye here recently has been very like grungy, like a lot of sweaters and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting if that influences.
Boxy bomber jackets. I do have a couple of those. Okay. So I do like classy. The look of those. And then dainty footwear. I'll probably stay away from this. Dainty.
Dainty.
Basically girlish.
Like Toms.
Yeah, like Toms type stuff in that realm of things. Ballet looking shoes for men. Which I don't get into.
For men.
Well, I'm just saying that type of.
Yeah. I
don't want to say all out feminine.
But I was never on the Toms kick.
Yeah.
I never had one.
I couldn't pull those off.
Me neither.
Definitely not. Not in me. All right. Women's fashion trends for 2023 for this from insider.com. Shades of green. So it looks like green is going to be a popular color there. Okay. Does your wife look good in green? Does she have brown eyes or green eyes?
She has blue.
Oh, she has blue eyes? I didn't even notice
hazel,
that.
Yeah.
How unobservant of me.
Yeah. I don't... Green? No, not really.
Okay, the next one, ballet flats.
Okay. That's weird.
So Tom's shoes, but more like leather.
Right.
Patented on the outside. Fox leather leggings. So basically leather jeggings. Jeggings.
Okay.
The tighter... pants,
but in
the black leather.
Okay.
Are you going to get your wife a pair of those?
No.
Okay.
She would never wear them.
And then blazers. I know my daughter Zoe got into this last year. She was wearing a lot of blazers.
Yeah, it's weird.
But it's probably because of the college she goes to. Yeah. Anyway, no, just kidding. Okay, so there we go. There's a little bit of men's women's fashion for 2023.
So this year is green.
If you're a lady. Buy your wife something. No,
my wife, she wears a lot of black and grays. She's kind of emo, I guess, in her style, but she doesn't add a lot of color. So I don't think green is a color she would wear.
Ask her. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
Actually, my wife doesn't wear a lot of green, but I did one time. I bought her a green dress, and I thought she looked really good in green. So I was like, oh man, I should get you more green. Anyway, all right. So the next one, this one I think is down your alley, YouTube. I'm always on the YouTube quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
And I found this YouTube channel. This is so not me, but so fascinating, is Ticey Tube Restoration. So basically what this guy does is he takes like yellow, disgusting Super Nintendos,
Oh, Nintendos. Yes. I've seen this.
He takes them all apart and just completely renews them.
Yep.
I mean, he takes out every screw, I'm like, first of all, I'm like, I'd lose all of it. If I took it apart, I wouldn't even have no idea how I've to get it back together.
I've seen this. And he puts it in like a solution and it takes all that yellow, yellow out. Yeah, I've seen it.
And then, I mean, it's not just getting it clean, but then getting it to work. I mean, he's like soldering stuff with the, I mean, it was amazing. And so his whole channel is not just Nintendo's, although that's kind of popular. He's got like metal stuff. He's got an old knife here. I'm pulling up the channel right now.
One I've seen is they'll take
Apple keyboard,
they'll Game take Boy, old
Atari.
They'll take old, like Hot Wheels cars.
Mm-hmm.
Like classic, maybe 60s, 70s Hot Wheels, and they'll restore them. You know, like a kid takes them and bangs them against the wall and stuff, the paint chips and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, they take them down to bare metal and then they restore them like they were original. And I guess it's a whole thing. I've also seen them take, like, let's say Zippo lighters or something, or like some metal, maybe like an old Apple peeler. They'll take it down to bare metal and completely restore it like it's new. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
So that's what the channel is basically. And I mean, I've pulled up here. He does all kinds of metal stuff, but I watched a couple of the first one I watched was the 90s Super NES, which was amazing.
Of course.
But then he does the arcade, regular NES, Apple keyboard, bunch of those kind of things.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I have a Super NES, and mine hasn't really yellowed like a lot of them have. And I'm curious as to what really causes that yellowing in it. So I don't know if it's a different plastic than some of them or something. Who knows? Maybe it's the house. You know, I traditionally I haven't grown up in smokers' houses either. So
yeah.
I don't know if maybe that plays into some of it. Possibly. Who knows?
So there you go. Any other hot news there? We're going to get into some spiritual talk today.
No hot news over here.
Okay. I always start processing the stories I've read before when I read the Bible, as you start the new, going through the Bible. And so I was reading the fall of man, Genesis chapter 23. I'll read part of it. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will certainly not die,' the serpent said to the woman." And this one, okay, pause there. I think it's interesting in some commentaries I was reading, is that, you know, a serpent could have been one. I just found interesting. One could have been like a dragon.
Yeah.
Not necessarily just a snake, because we always say snake. It's kind of like the Jonah got swallowed by a whale. Well, we don't know that it was a whale. It was just a really large fish. So I thought that's interesting.
Well, I've seen people comment like the curse was for it to crawl on its belly. So they make the question like, did it have legs at one point?
Yeah. Yep. So for God knows when you eat from the tree, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. The eyes of both of them were opened and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord, which again, you know, are we going to be fully naked in heaven one day? That's what I always like to throw that one out there, just for our humanity, fleshly minds. They're like, that's so gross. Like, oh,
let's do it.
Well, I mean, what's the problem? I mean, it happened at one point. Verse 8, then man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. Still, many of us are still trying to hide from God today. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit in the tree, and I ate it." So blaming it on the woman. Then the Lord said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate." So Lord God said to the serpent, and on it goes. And there's sin and all that good stuff. So we look at that story, and I think some things that we process, you know, it's the woman's fault, etc. The only comment, or not the one comment, but it's just always interesting to process through these stories over and over again, And the one thing I found in a commentary that I thought was interesting, and I'm looking at this from the perspective of male leadership today as modern Christian dudes.
Yeah.
In that regards, you know, it, so here's what I found. It says, she did not receive the command to not eat of the tree directly from God, but through Adam.
Oh.
So, you know, she didn't, so the command not to eat from the tree, that wasn't something that God gave her. It was something that God gave to the man, and she in turn received that information through the man.
Right.
So then in the commentary it says, maybe Adam didn't do an effective job of communication.
Oh.
And so it's basically kind of like,
that hurts.
You know, hey, so maybe it's not really the woman's fault after all. It's the man's fault because
he didn't communicate.
He didn't communicate properly.
Oh, man.
The commands of the Lord to the wife. I was like, oh, man, that's a great point to process and to think about. And, you know, some of these things are opinion or we don't really know for sure. But I do think it's also kind of interesting as male, overall as males, I think it's fair to say, or we've heard it said before, that we are not as good communicators
yep.
as women are.
Yeah.
Women are better communicators. They use more words, whatever. Could be true or not true, and not in every 100% sweeping
yeah.
theory, but that's the theory. And so maybe is that the result of like the fall of man or sin, or that's one of the foundational elements that yeah. sin came into the world was our lack of communication or man's lack of communication to the woman to clearly communicate
yeah.
to the woman.
Possibly. Yeah. I actually started in Genesis again, too. And I'm going through the commentaries too. And one of the commentaries I thought was interesting. One of the curses is that the woman would try to lord over the man. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then the interesting thing is like how that is still so forgive me, ladies. Now we're running them off now.
Yep.
How that is still relevant to today. Right. And that's what yeah. one of the things that the commentary brought out and talked about a little bit. And I think is interesting. Another thing I pulled away from it too, is reading through that Genesis as well this year is the thing that the serpent used was enlightenment. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. I've noticed recently, over the last, 2 years or so, a lot of people have been believing things, of certain, I don't want to get too deep into it and get myself in trouble, but they've taken some information and conspiracies, hook, line, and sinker. And one of the things that I pointed out to certain people is like, hey, this is a sales pitch
mm-hmm.
that this person is selling. And what they're selling is enlightenment. If you watch this video that I have, then you will know information that nobody else knows. Enlightenment, you know. And I've heard that statement several times from people. And to me, I'm like, listen, you don't know who this person is, and you're taking every word that they're saying as absolute truth,
mm-hmm.
right? And what they're selling is enlightenment, and it plays on that human nature of wanting to know what nobody else knows.
Yep.
And I was reading through Genesis, and I was like, oh my gosh. Like, there's the literal, like, first sin came from the enemy coming to them and saying, you're going to be enlightened. You're going to know, yeah. you know,
yep.
what God knows,
yeah, yeah.
you know, and how interesting is it that still today it's prevalent for somebody to do that, to use that as a sales pitch of, you know, in this particular case, it's YouTube videos. Like,
yeah,
they want you to watch their every YouTube video because they're going to make money off of monetized ads. And the thing that they're selling is enlightenment. If you follow my channel and if you watch my videos, then you're going to know what nobody else knows. And there's
right.
that it's still being used today. How yeah. interesting.
The scams right. have never stopped, and they keep getting more inventive, more right. creative.
So yeah, when I was reading through how Satan persuaded Eve, I was like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what happens today. But
yeah,
that's interesting.
So guys, one takeaway I would say is it seems that, you know, we have a place of leadership. We have a place to communicate the truths of God to, you know, our wives, mm-hmm. to our families. And are we doing a good job of that? So right. basically, you know, they would, you know, the truth that they're getting would come from us, or in one sense, it'd be right. Like, hey, we didn't do a good job of communicating truth to.
Yeah.
And it's very scary because we're not trying to, it's always easy as me being a pastor or whatever, you can pick on people and say, well, look at that family. They don't do a good job. Their kids aren't godly or right. whatever. But, and so far my kids are serving the Lord, but it's like, you know, just the other night we're talking about some families where you clearly saw that, you know, you just saw that their kids were heading down the wrong path because right. the parents were not really speaking truth.
Yeah.
And you know, things in their life. And then, yeah. you know, you just see it and you're like, wow, I'm really surprised by that.
Well, the man's supposed to, and this is like repeating, I'm sure we've all heard this a million times, but the man's supposed to be the priest of the household.
Yeah.
Right. And the temperature of the household is going to be, you know, on the man ultimately. And I've even found in my life and my marriage, sometimes when I wasn't strong, my wife was stronger and she had to pick up the slack that I had. Right. And mm-hmm. honestly, I'm very fortunate to have a wife that is just so adamant and after God that even when I had shortcomings and I wasn't, she picked up the slack and directed our kids and things still, right? Even when I wasn't right. But how many situations is it where the wife maybe doesn't necessarily have that strength and that focus on God, you know, and it causes disruption. And a big thing too, I think is what you allow into your home. Now mm-hmm. I, there are things that I don't allow in my house. And I know that from a world perspective that it seems very religious, you know, and me personally, like Pokemon, things of that nature, or I'm sorry, but horror films, scary movies, Halloween themed things, you know, that it's not allowed in my home. I don't allow those things in my house. I don't allow my kids, you know, and I have heard Christians that have allowed those things in their homes. Right. And there, to my opinion, there's a correlation there with, you know, how their life is and their struggles and the enemy coming against them. You know, I've seen that. It's like, well, you're a Christian. There are certain things that you shouldn't have in your household. And they're like, oh my gosh, you know, Friday the 13th is my favorite film of all time. It's like, how could you be a Christian and let that, you know, and maybe some people see that as religious, but you know, I don't allow that in my house. And you know, I don't have some of the issues that, you know, they have.
Yeah. And then I was going to say the other thing, you know, again, I definitely, as I get older, I'm not as dogmatic about all these scriptures because I get really annoyed by people that are like, well, this is exactly what happened.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, well, how would you even know, bro? Right. So anyway, but the one thing is I read one commentary, which I thought was interesting, is basically they're saying, you know, the enemy attacked, you know, the vulnerable person in that relationship.
Yeah.
Not that the women are weak or weaker. It's just that she was vulnerable because she hadn't been possibly communicated
right.
The truth. So that's why he went after her, not the man.
Right.
Because she didn't really know
yeah.
the extent, or maybe wasn't told
yeah.
or communicated to effectively. So she was a bigger target. So we have to be careful. What I'm saying is we have to be careful of the vulnerable places in our life, because that's where the enemy is going to go. He's going to look yeah. for vulnerable aspects of our lives and then attack that.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right, guys. Well, I know he's not here. Funko Pro Greg Walden. He's out buying stuff right now, but you know, he's really poor right now.
Probably
he's struggling.
Funko Pops.
You know, I mean, he's struggling. Okay. Pray for him. We need to send in money, please.
My guess is that he's either buying Funko Pops or a heated seat for his four wheeler.
Yeah. We love you, Funko Pro Greg Walden. It's the start of the year, guys. God bless you. Be the leader, be the voice, be the man of God, be a woman of God for your family. And we'll talk to you guys next time. All right. Happy New Year, everyone.